أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. We were talking about the tawakkul of Imam Hussein عليه السلام and how he felt when he was moving towards a doomed destiny, which of course he was quite aware of. Two or three pieces I want to mention tonight, which is the night of Ashura, and apart from the tragedy, I think every word and every sentence and every action of Imam Hussein on this very night was a great lesson for all those Shias who want to follow the true path of Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam. One incident I have mentioned previously about his meeting with Farazdaq, the great poet, which was of course a very young man at that time, but I have only mentioned half of it to you, which related to the attitude of people of Kufa at that time. Now I want to mention the words that Imam Hussein actually told to Farazdaq, which shows how reliant and how unwavered and calm and tranquil he was when he moved out of Mecca. Of course, everyone would have thought that Imam Hussein was in great panic because he was being chased in Mecca. There was a fear, as he explains here to Farazdaq, when Farazdaq asks, "Why are you going out of Mecca on the day of Hajj?" He said, "I fear that I'm caught and I'm killed." And he didn't want to desecrate the haram of the Mecca, so he wanted to move out. Knowing this, of course, you just listen what he told to Farazdaq. I just go through through the story. Farazdaq says, "I was performing Hajj on the year 60. And I was driving the camel on which my mother was riding, and actually I was taking my mother to Hajj. And I saw a caravan coming out of Mecca with swords and shields, which was not, of course, something to be seen in the haram. I mean, swords and shields, a kind of armed caravan coming out of Mecca on the 8th of Zihajjah." So he was very surprised. He said, "فَقُلْتُ لِمَنْ هَذَا الْقَطَارِ?" To whom belongs this caravan coming out of Mecca? This is very extraordinary. He was told, "This is فَقِيلَ لِلْحُسَيْنِ ابْنَ عَلِيِّ ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ." And of course, Farazdaq was a native of Kufa, so he very well knew who Hussein ibn Ali was. He says, "I went to him, I greeted him, and I told him in a surprised way, 'A'taka Allah su'lak wa amalaka fima tuhib.' I hope God gives you your request and what you hope and what you like." It means, what is it that is bringing you out of Mecca at this time? I hope what you are after, you are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "بأبي أنت وأمي ابن رسول الله." May my mother and father are offered as ransom to you, O you son of the prophets. "ما أعجلك عن الحج." Why are you coming out on the day of Hajj? Imam Hussein said, "If I don't go out, I'm caught." And then he said, of course, Farazdaq found out what's the situation. I'm caught, it means I'm in a situation that people are after me, I have to move out. And Farazdaq, of course, knew that Imam Hussein were, and his men were moving towards Kufa. And since he had come from Kufa, he knew very well what was going on in Kufa. So Imam Hussein asked him, أخبرني عن الناس خلفك. Tell me about the people you left behind. فقلت الخبير سألت. I said, you have asked from a very informed man. It means Farazdaq. Well, we find out later on, I mean, after this incident and at the time of Imam Zainul Abidin, that he was quite politicized kind of poet. He composed lots of poetry which was quite defiant of Banu Umayyah. So when he says, you ask from a very informed man, means that he was completely aware what was politically going inside the closed circles in Kufa. And he said, after saying that I'm quite informed of the situation in Kufa, he said, قُلُوبُ النَّاسِ مَعَكْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. Their hearts are with you, but their souls are against you. And this is really amazing, that people who loved قُلُوبُهُمْ كَانَ مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ. They really loved Hussein, Amirul Mu'mineen, the holy family of the Prophet, but they didn't have that firm conviction and commitment to what they loved and what they believed. And just for worldly gains, they changed sides. And this means that if we are like them, if really people of belief are going to be so shaky like this, from the With the slightest test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are going to waver. They are going to lose their faith. I mean, these people were Muslims. These new people were following. Well, let's not say following. They liked Ahlul Bayt. They always were on the side of Amirul Mu'mineen and Banu Hashim against Muawiyah and Banu Umayyah. But this test really, really failed. They really failed. Really failed their faith. And we are all up to such tests throughout our lives. In Surah Ankabut, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يقولوا آمنا أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do the people really think that they are left to say we are believers and there is no test? They wouldn't undergo any test. Of course, we have tested the ones who have said we are believers before them, and we are going to test them and whoever comes after them. This is very natural. Iman, faith, is not what we declare, is what we do. This we have to bear in mind. And as soon as you say that, I believe in you, oh God, I rely in you, then immediately tests come on your way. And you yourself would find out. As it is said about disbelievers on the Day of Judgment, فَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They witness against themselves because of what they have done. So as soon as you say, I have faith, oh God, I'm relying on you, oh God, I don't like anything but you, I just want to come to you, be careful when you are saying these things to God. Be careful, because then a test would come up, and I hope it would not fail us. Now, Farazdaq, of course, a very literate person, he said, the hearts of people are with you, but the swords are against you. وَالْقَضَاءُ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And of course, the decree comes from the heaven. Means I'm not going to tell you what to do or what you should expect. What God wants, it would come about. This shows Farazda was really a man of understanding and knowledge. وَالْقَضَاءُ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And God does whatever He wants. This was the word of Farazda. Now, look what Imam says. فَقَالْ صَدَقْتَ. Imam said, you're right. لِلَّهِ الْعَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ. The affair is with Allah, He is in control in the past and in the future. Of course, this is a verse from the Quran. وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. And every day, He is in a new order and decree. He does whatever He wants. And I think we have explained this sentence, which I'm going to read for you. We have seen the contents and the purpose of this sentence in Dua Arafah, in many, many places. إِن نَزَلَ الْقَضَاءُ بِمَا نُحِبُّ وَنَرْضَى فَنَحْمَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَعْمَائِهِ وَهُوَ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ أَدَاءِ الشُّكْرِ. If the decree, the qada of God comes down to us according to what we like and what we are pleased with, we praise Him for His blessings and grace, and He should help us to give Him thanks if this comes about. وَإِنْ حَالَ الْقَضَاءُ دُونَ الرَّجَاءُ. But if the decree frustrates our hopes, violates what we hope, فَلَمْ يُبَعِدْ مَنْ كَانَ الْحَقُّ نِيَّتَهُ وَالتَّقْوَى سَرِيرَتَهُ. God is never going to destroy, to leave the one whose intention is the truth and whose inside feelings, whose soul is taqwa and piety, whose heart is based on piety. Very beautiful. This is the highest, the peak of tawakkul. If what we like comes about, we thank Him. And of course, we cannot thank Him unless He helps us. This is a very, very important thing. We have to realize we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless He helps us in this. And what is thanksgiving? I mean, usually when we thank each other, we do something as a response, as a recompense for what we have received. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we could do? We only can have a kind of feeling, a kind of expression inside that yes, we are receiving this from You. And this is the only thing that God wants us to know. And He wants us to know this because this would elevate us. He doesn't need us to thank Him. And we cannot thank Him. He just wants that internal feeling, because that internal feeling will lift us up towards Him. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank, I will give you more. I'll give you more knowledge, more faith, more understanding. And I mean, whatever we do for God is for ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes it's amazing when one feels and thinks about it, that how the way between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the link is a one-way link. It always comes down to us, the mercy, the grace and everything. And what goes up is what? It's just insolence, disgraceful acts, ungratefulness. This is what goes up. This is the only thing which goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have in Dua Abu Hamza, خَيْرُكَ إِلَيْنَا نَازِلْ وَشَرُّنَا إِلَيْكَ صَاعِدْ. Your mercy and grace comes down to us continuously. And our disgraceful acts, our shar, comes up to You continuously. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ وَلَا يَزَالْ مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ يَأْتِيكَ عَنَّا بِعَمَلٍ قَبِيلٍ. Incessantly, a dignified angel comes to you from us with the news, with the information, with recording of a bad action. فَلَا يَمْنَعُكَ ذَلِكْ مِنْ أَنْ تَهُوتَنَا بِنَعْمِكْ. But this does not prevent you to surround us with your ni'mah, with your grace. This is how it is. If we think about it, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing is that we don't think about these things. And if we know, well, these ni'mahs come down to us because of the generosity of God, because this is His habit, His way of doing things. But if you know how He personally likes us, then of course we would change completely in our personality. لو علم الناس, this is the hadith, لو علم الناس كيف اشتياقي بهم وحبي لهم لتقطعت قلوبهم. If people knew how I am, how I love them, and how I feel eager to meet them on the day of judgment, of course He is talking our language, then their hearts would tear up out of eagerness to come to me, out of love. Okay, Imam says, if the decree comes according to what we love and what we are pleased with, فَنَحْمَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَعْمَائِهِ, we thank Him for His grace. And He should help us. وَهُوَ الْمُسْتَعَانَ عَلَىٰ عَدَاءِ الشُّكْرِ. He should help us in that thanksgiving. وَإِنْ حَالَ الْقَضَاءُ دُونَ الرَّجَاءِ. But if the decree comes and frustrates our hopes, prevent us from reaching what we like, this is not going to harm us. Because this wouldn't harm anyone whose intention is the truth and whose heart is based on piety. وَالتَّقْوَى سَعِيدَةُ. Well, this man is not going to panic seeing 30,000 troops in front of him. Of course he's not going to panic. He is so... the serenity just is apparent from all his words and all his behaviors. Now, he, before setting out to defend himself, he tried very eagerly to convince the people of Kufa that you shouldn't fight against me. Why are you waging a war against the holy family of the prophets? And of course this was for their good, not for Imam Hussein's good. They were doing something wrong against themselves. They were oppressing themselves, and Imam Hussein wanted to prevent this. Now, so he addressed them with probably two or three sermons before the war starts. And in these, the outstanding sentences in these sermons is just that I am relying on the Lord. He recites usually the verses of the Quran which contain the concept of tawakkul, especially one when Nuh alayhi salam says to his people that if you want to muster all your force and fight against me, I don't mind because I am relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recites the same verse in his sermons addressing people of Kufa. Now, one of these sermons which I want to go through, inshallah, tomorrow in Maqtal, we will go through his words throughout Ashura. Of course, usually this habit of recitation of Maqtal is not very customary in among communities other than Arab communities. But I think the best thing to do on the day of Ashura is just recite the Maqtal. We don't need to recite things which has no truth in them. We don't need to exaggerate the whole incident. the incident could not be more tragic than it is. You cannot exaggerate it. And if you just recite it on the day of Ashura, just remember, and just if you are reminded of what happened, that's enough. You just feel that you really wanted to be there and to oppose these insane and disgraceful people, who of course many of them knew Hussein ibn Ali. He was living among them. They knew who he was. And especially on the night of Ashura, they saw the difference between the two camps. Now, the sermon, one of the sermons here. Inshallah, tomorrow when we do the Maqtal, as I said, we go through these sermons in more details. Tonight just I mention a few sentences. He said, "Ayyuha Nas," he tried to quiet people, and of course people were clamoring and clapping, didn't want to hear, but of course there were at least some people in Kufa who were that polite to say, when Hussein ibn Ali is talking, keep quiet, let's see what he is saying. What is he offering to us? So he called out at the top of his voice. This is from the Irshad of Shaykh al-Mufid. He called out at the top of his voice, "Ya ayyuhal nas, isma'u qawli, wa la ta'ajalu, hatta a'idhakum bima huwa haqqun lakum alay." O people, listen to my words and do not rush to attack me, so that I may remind you of the duties you have towards me, and so that by telling you the true circumstances, I have freed myself from any blame, and I have freed myself from the responsibility of clarifying the situation for you. If you give me justice, you will become happier through that. If you do not give me justice of your own accord, then agree upon your affairs, and let not your affairs be in darkness to you. Then carry out against me the most fearful attacks, and do not wait a second, because indeed my guardian is God, who created the book, who revealed the book, and he takes care of the righteous ones. This is the verse of the Quran. So the verse says, فَأَجْمُعُوا أَمْرَكُمْ وَشُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَمْرُكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ غُمَّةٌ ثُمَّ اقْضُوا إِلَيَّ وَلَا تُنْظِرُونَ إِنَّ وَلِيَّ اللَّهِ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْكِتَابَ وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. My guardian is God, the one who revealed the book, and he is the guardian of the righteous. So I'm not afraid that you are going to attack me. I'm not addressing this sermon to you to prevent you from this, from what you want to do with me. I just want to clarify for you the situation. Otherwise, I have other sources to protect me. So this is what he says. Inna waliya Allah alladhi nazzala al-kitab wa huwa yatawalla as-salih. Now look what he said. Ayyuhan nas, ansabuni man ana, ثُمَّ رَجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَعَاتِبُوهَا وَانْظُرُوا حَلْ يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ إِنْتَهَا كَهُرْمَتِي. He said, trace back my lineage and consider who I am. Then look back at yourselves and think within your souls. Consider whether it's right for you to kill me and to violate the honor of my women folk. Am I not the son of the daughter of your prophets? Am I not the son of his trustee, his wasi, Ali ibn Abi Talib? The first of the believers in God, and the man who first believed in what his apostle brought from his Lord. Was not Hamza the Lord of the martyrs, my uncle? Of course, these people were extremely respectful, respected in all Islamic circles, especially in Kufa, which were the actually supporters of Banu Hashim and Ali ibn Abi Talib. And so he's mentioning his lineage and his bonds with these very respected people. Was not Hamza the Lord of the Martyrs, my uncle? Because Hamza, prior to the event of Karbala, was well known as Sayyid al-Shuhada, the Lord of the Martyrs. And after Karbala, of course, this attribute was given to Husayn ibn Ali, and it was forgotten about Hamza. Now, then Husayn ibn Ali becomes Sayyid al-Shuhada. But here he says, was not Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada, my uncle? Was not Ja'far the one who flies in heaven, my uncle? Have you not heard the words of the prophets concerning myself and my brother, saying, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shabab Ahlul Jannah? These are the two laws of the youth of the inhabitants of heaven. Whether you believe what I am saying, and it is the truth, and I swear by God that I have never told a lie since I learned that God hates people who tell lies. Or whether you regard me as a liar, go and ask from those among you who have heard this from the Prophet, this hadith, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah. He's saying, if you do not believe me, that Prophet said such a thing, go and ask from his companions. Go and ask Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Ask Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Ask Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'di, Zayd ibn Arqam, Anas ibn Malik. And it is really a pity that grandson of the Prophet is resorting to these people to say that, look who I am, and go and ask them whether the Prophet said such thing. They do not believe Husayn ibn Ali in what he said. So he said, go and ask these people. And ask them so that they tell you that they heard these words from the Prophet himself, concerning myself and my brother, is this not sufficient to prevent you from shedding my blood? Well, of course it was not sufficient. Their hearts was so blocked. And of course, Shemr started to say irrelevant words, that we do not understand what you say, stop speaking and other things. And Burayr came in and quieted the people again, and Husayn alayhi salam started to talk again. Now he called upon the people who had invited him, the heads of the tribes. So he said, Shabath ibn Rabi'i, Hajjar ibn Abjar, Qays ibn al-Ash'ath, Yazid ibn al-Harith, didn't you write to me? The fruits has ripened, the dates have grown green, come to an army which has been gathered for you. Didn't you write this to me? And they were, of course, heads of the officers in front rows. So, what could they say? They just said, we don't know what you are talking about, said Qays ibn al-Ash'ath. Submit to the authority of your kinsman, means Yazid Banu Umayyah. They have never treated you with anything but what you liked. And he said, by God, I will never give you my hand in humiliation, nor will I flee like a slave. I take refuge in my Lord and your Lord. إني أذت بربي وربكم من كل متكبر لا يؤمن بيوم الحساب. From every haughty man who does not believe in the day of judgment. Well, this was how he, so great, so dignified. When you read this story of this single man with quite a very few number of troops with him against this great army, you would just feel honor, just feel respect, just feel dignity. just feel the izzah of Allah when Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعَزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Okay, I will talk a bit about tonight, inshallah. I don't know whether we have questions and answers or not. Okay.
Is anyone amongst the brothers would like to ask a question? Sisters, is anyone wanting to ask a question on your side?
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
Sisters, give you one more chance.
How do we continue? Well, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions, tonight was a great night. All of them knew that they are going to die tomorrow, and it's only one night between them and meeting what is awaiting them in terms of mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think they should have been very impatient to get the daylight tomorrow. Sometimes it is pictured that, okay, they were heartbroken, they were just thinking that tomorrow they are going to die, so they had a bad feeling. But what we read in the books about this night, it doesn't show this. It just shows that they were so impatient for tomorrow. بَيْنَ قَائِمٍ وَقَاعِدٍ وَرَاكِعٍ وَسَاجِدٍ لَهُمْ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٍّ النَّحْلِ. There was sounds of supplication, prayers, like the reverberation of the sounds of honeybees when you pass by their camp. And some standing, some sitting, some prostrating, some bowing down, and all absorbed and immersed in their own private supplication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This afternoon, the army of Umar al-Sa'd decided to attack. It is reported that Imam Hussein was sitting in front of his tent and had put his head on his knees and was dozing. The last few nights and days were really tiresome. So, of course, he couldn't sleep properly, but he was just sitting, his head on his knees and dozing, and the troops started to approach them. So Zainab salamullah alayha heard the rattling sound of the horses coming near. So he went to his brother and said, "My brother, aren't you hearing? The army is starting the attack." And Hussein raised his head, just coming out of his slumber. Just without saying anything, he said, "I was seeing my grandfather Rasulullah in dream. He told me, Hussein, you are coming towards me." This was this afternoon. And then he said, "Abbas, may I be a ransom to your life?" And this is a great Ba'abi Abba, Benafsi and Ya Abbas, may my life be a ransom for you. This is to Abbas, to Abul Fals, he said. And this is the real love that he has for his brother Abbas, of course. And his love, of course, is not because of blood link, just because the kind of character that he knew in Abbas. So he told Abbas, go and see what is their intention. Do they want to attack us now? Because it was very unusual to attack in the afternoon. All wars, I mean, at that time, on those days, started early in the morning. So coming in the afternoon, near the evening, the army coming to attack, it was very, very unusual. But perhaps they had received the order that you finish all these incidents very quickly. And they thought, well, these are only a few people, just 70, 80 men, and we could finish them in half an hour. So they wanted before dark to finish the whole thing. So Hussein alayhi salam was not sure what was their intention. So he told to Abbas, go and ask them what they want to do, what's their intention. Abbas came and said what Imam Hussein had told him. They said that, tell to your brother, either he has to submit to Yazid, or we will kill all of you. Abbas told them, okay, just wait for a second, I take your message to him and come back with his message. So he came to Hussein alayhi salam and said, this is what they want, submit to Yazid or you are killed all together. Hussein alayhi salam said, go and ask them to give us time tonight, because this is the night that I want to do salat, to recite the Quran, to supplicate, and to do istighfar. And by God, He knows Himself that how much I love to pray for Him and to do istighfar. And this was, of course, the last night that he had the chance to do this again. Of course, he was doing this all night, but this was the kind of eagerness and love that he had for such a thing. So Abbas went to them and said, Hussein alayhi salam is asking you for one more night. They started to argue among themselves. Some of them said that, no, we shouldn't give them time. Some of them said, well, this is Hussein ibn Ali. I mean, it is the least thing that we could for him. And one of them said, what is becoming of you if the other side was the army of Jews or Christians or Mushrikun, and they asked us for one night respite, we would have given them. Now, this is Hussein ibn Ali asking you for one night. Why shouldn't we give them? So they started to argue and to reflect on the issue, and the decision at the end was that, okay, we give you one more night, but tomorrow you have to submit. And this one more night, of course, was really a treasure for Hussein and his companions, in terms of, as I said, knowing that they are going to meet their Lord tomorrow, to do istighfar for whatever they had done previously, and to go clean and pure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, I was ill in the tent, and everyone had always summoned by my father, and my father wanted to address them. So I came out with so much trouble just to hear what my father was saying. And he said, I do not know companions and relatives better than you as my companions and my relatives. You have really done what you had to do in terms of loyalty to me. But these people are only after me. They don't want you. this is night. Take it as your camel, as your mount, because no one is going to see you on these dark moments. So take it as your camel and move. Take your family and go. And people were really, really motivated, agitated by this. And they started standing up, saying one by one, inshallah we will go through it tomorrow in Maqtal. That, where should we go? Especially the sons of Muslim ibn Aqil, who was already martyred, they said, should we go back to Medina, saying that we left Hussein ibn Ali, surrounded by the army of the enemy, and we did not throw a spear or an arrow, and we did not hit with our swords anyone, we did not defend him, and we just came back to live here in Medina? How disgraceful life is if you go back like this. And others started stood up and said, so Hussein ibn Ali at the end said, okay, if this is what you want, it's alright, but tomorrow all of you will die. There's no one who is saved. And of course, they were not going to have a setback by this. Again, Imam Zain al-Abidin says, I heard my father was reciting some poems. Ya dahr, uffin laka min khalili, kam laka bil ishraq wal asili, min talibin wa min sahibin wa talibin qatili, wa dahr la yaqna'u bil badili. O world, how bad a companion is you. How many lovers and how many companions you had, and all of them you have killed and put aside. And you do not take a ransom from anyone. You just pick people one by one. وَكُلُّ حَيٍّ سَالِكٌ سَبِيلِي. And all living creatures would come in after my path. وَإِنَّمَا الْأَمْرُ إِلَى الْجَلِيلِ. And the affairs is in the hand of God. Now, Zain al-Abidin says, hearing this last verse, وَكُلُّ حَيٍّ سَالِكٌ سَبِيلِي. All living creatures are going to come after my path. I realize that my father is submitted himself to the Lord, and he knows that it is death tomorrow. But my aunt Zainab was catering, because he was ill, was catering for me. I was almost crying, but I kept my tears, because I didn't want my aunt, because she was a woman and affection, I didn't want her to be hurt in her feelings. But she also heard what I heard, so she ran to Hussein alayhi salam, started crying and saying, are you informing us of your death? This night is like the night that my father, my grandfather Rasulullah passed away. This is like the night that my father Ali ibn Abi Talib passed away. Like the night that my mother Fatima al-Zahra passed away. Like the night that my brother Hassan ibn Ali passed away. And after saying these things, she fainted. Now, Hussein tried to bring her back to consciousness. Just a few drops of water she spilled on her face. She came back. And he said, oh sister, preserve, keep your patience. Everyone should die. My father was better than me and he died. My brother was better than me and he died. My mother was better than me and he died. Everyone would die. But I tell you one thing, after I die, I really want and insist that you would not cry loud. You do not do anything which is disgraceful to the family of the Prophet. And of course, did Zainab did very beautifully. All of us know how she behaved after the incidents. But of course, tomorrow it was real difficult for Zainab. Real difficult. I mean, seeing all those beloved ones being killed one by one, one after another. This was really, really hard. But the last martyr for Zainab was much harder than all other previous ones. And that was when Hussein was alone. For everyone, I mean, just imagine. People, children are kept in the camps. Hussein has told Zainab no one should come out of the camp because he didn't want anyone seeing him being killed by that ruthless enemy. So Zainab was trying to keep the children inside the camps, the women and children. And Hussein alone was attacking the enemy and coming back. He had chosen a resting place for himself just near the camps. When he set out for an attack, of course, he would have become tired after a while, and no one could actually kill him in the first run. So after the first attack, he came back to have some rest. He had several attacks, as I said previously, and he recited verses of his dignity and his honor. He attacked to the right wing, saying that أَنَا ابْنُ عَلِيِّ الطُّهْرِ مِنْ آلَ حَاشَمِي كَفَانِي بِهَذَا مَفْخَرًا حِينَ أَفْخَرُ وَجَدِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَكْرَمُ مَنْ مَشَى وَنَحْنُ سِرَاجُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَزْهَرُ. I am the son of the pure Ali from the Hashim, from Banu Hashim, and this honor suffices me if I want to mention my honors. And my grandfather is Rasulullah. And he started to hit the enemy, killing so many of them. But after a while, he was out of breath, came out to his resting place, which was near the camps. And everyone was hearing that Hussein was back. And everyone, he came back, he just said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim. And of course, so thirsty, he couldn't say it very well. It is mentioned, it's reported in Rawayat, that so thirsty he was, that he was seeing the sky as a cloud of smoke. So thirsty he was. And he started the second attack. فاطم الزهراء أمي وأبي قاسم البدر قاسم الكفر ببدر وحنين عبد الله غلاما يافع وقريش يعبدون الصنمين فأبي شمس وأمي قمر وأنا الكوكب وابن القمرين. My mother is فاطمة الزهراء. And my father is Ali, the one who crushed the Kufr in Badr and Hunayn. He was the one who worshipped God while he was still a child, and while Quraysh were worshipping the two idols, Lat and Uzza. So my father is sun, and my mother is moon, and I am the star, the son of this sun and that moon. And he crushed the enemy so hard. I mean, when he could go in and come out, it means that no one really could stop him attacking them. And again he came back and rested beside the camps. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Rested for a few minutes. And people in the camp were reassured that now Hussein is back. He's not yet martyred. And he made the third attack, saying that الموت أولى من ركوب العار والعار أولى من دخول النار أنا الحسين بن علي آليت ألا أنثني أحمي إيالات أبي أنظي على دين النبي. Disgrace. The death is better than disgrace. Disgrace is better than hellfire. And I am not the man of disgrace and man of hellfire. I am Hussein ibn Ali, and I have swear that I would not bow down to you, and I will fight you, and I will preserve my family. And he made the third attack. And there's still people in the camp who are waiting for him to come back. They heard the rattling sound of the horse, Dhul Jannah, coming back, but they didn't hear La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So they came out, and they saw that Dhul Jannah is back without Imam Hussein. And they found out that Hussein is now finished. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.